Let's think about the lesson. We've been talking about the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's, I don't think we can switch the wording around. It's worded like that in the scripture. It's a scriptural phrase, and it's talked about in the scripture. So, Isaiah 61:1, and now this is just part of it. We did a lesson earlier on this last week, and showed the use of the term in Isaiah 61:1-2, and in Luke 4:19-22. But let's look at the first verse in Isaiah 61 now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. And that wasn't talking about the return of the Lord to the earth. So that's background, okay? Now, as prophesied, this was the Lord's earthly ministry. And we'll get into the kind of an extension of it. He said he was going to... Well, let me just say something about that verse. Preach the gospel to the poor. That's not... I'm looking for the... Let me see the entire verse there. Hold on a second. Isaiah 61... 1. There's what I'm looking for. Because the Lord... Now, this was written before Christ was born, before Jesus was born. And I guess I'll tell you staking out. I'm not comfortable hearing people talk about Jesus was not Christ until he was on the cross. Because here, the Lord, this is a prophecy by Isaiah, talking about Jesus. The Lord anointed me. The word anointed is the word Christ, the Messiah. That's the anointed one. The Lord hath, past tense, anointed me to preach good tidings. And then he goes into those, I think it's six duties or functions of the Messiah when he comes. Well, if in Isaiah's time he had already been anointed, been the Christ, I don't see how anybody can say that he was not the Christ until he was on the cross. So, thank you for letting me get that out of my... I'm not just a worry wart. I want to get it right. Anyway, so he says to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and again, healing was... It was one of the signs that Israel could look for to realize when the Messiah was there. Who was the Messiah? He was a healer. He would cast out demons, especially those two things. Preach deliverance to the captives. There you go. Recovering of sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are bruised. And then Christ was crucified. He preached those. He fulfilled that. And then he was crucified. And after Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven, he still continued in his earthly ministry to be working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. Mark 16, 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And you can see the Lord working signs, miracles, healings, and wonders in these. I've got a list here of 11 places during the acceptable year of the Lord where the Lord worked these miracles. Here, if you want to copy them down or record it or whatever, here it is. Acts. Now, they may be more than these. I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but at least... That's a pretty good sized list of times reported when Jesus did these works to confirm the gospel, confirm what he had preached and done. Acts 2, verse 11, verse 22, and verse 43. Acts chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 14, 22, 30. And then we go to chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 12, verse 16, Acts 6, verse 8, and verse 15. So the verses I mentioned here, they verified Mark 16:20, that the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And those signs were not ineffective either. They did the confirming that was intended. After the signs confirmed the word, there was nothing left to be confirmed. There were no more signs for that purpose, that type. Remember, there are at least five types of signs in the Bible. And remember that the acceptable year of the Lord was Scripture. We'll look at those two verses again. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. It was not just an invented accommodation to make the events fit together, this acceptable year of the Lord. We can see from those Mark 16 verse 20 signs that the last part of Christ's prophesied earthly ministry, the acceptable year of the Lord, was after his resurrection, after his ascension back to heaven. And we'll explore some of these things that happened or started during the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus Christ gave the disciples a parable to help them see that year, that acceptable year of the Lord that was coming. And as you read it in the order it was in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, you see that the acceptable year of the Lord is the last part of the Lord's earthly ministry. It's not in the middle, it's the last part. But the acceptable year of the Lord has to do with Israel. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, Luke 13, he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Let's find out about the fig tree. Look at Judges chapter 9, verses 1 to 22, and we'll learn something about how the fig tree fits in. Jotham told this protest story about Abimelech, one of the kings of Israel. And he said, starting in verse 8, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, this is to the olive tree, reign thou over us. Verse 9, but the olive tree said, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, so there we've got the fig, come thou and reign over us. Verse 11, but the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Verse 12, then said the trees to the vine, unto the vine, come thou reign and reign over us. Verse 13, and the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow, and if not, let fire come down out of the bramble. Let me read it in the corrected form here, not down. It says, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. In Israel's scriptures, Israel is pictured as an olive tree, as we saw, a fig tree, a vine, and sadly, as a bramble. We saw those four representations. But the point is that the fig tree represents Israel. So we'll continue with this fig tree parable from Luke 13. He spake also this parable unto a certain, this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. None. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the earth? And remember that in the Eastern culture of Israel, they thought in different terms in some areas. They counted in different terms. It was sort of like the difference between logic and Boolean logic. Israel counted time by their Passover feasts. So the dresser of the vineyard could have restated his comment in this way. Now, he didn't, but he could make-believe, okay? This is an example to show us what he really meant when we go back to the way it was written, okay? But he could have said, behold, these 3 Passovers I come seeking fruit on this tree. They counted their years by Passovers. It gives a little different understanding of the verse 7 there. It has nothing to do with the translation. The vine dresser said these 3 years, and it's translated correctly because it's the King James Version. And if I differ with it, I'm in error, not it. but I don't differ with it. Okay, but in his Eastern thinking, he could well have been like the counting of the Passovers. He could have been thinking that way. And that could have meant the same to him as these three Passovers. By the way, John records those three Passovers in John. Here's another list if you want it. John chapter 2, verse 23, John 6, verse 4, and John 13, verse 1. But let's get back to the parable of the fig tree. Verse 7, Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Verse 8, And he answering said unto him, Let it alone, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Verse 9, And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Well, what about this fig tree in verses 8 and 9? He said, Lord, let it alone this year also. That is the acceptable year of the Lord. That the Lord said would be the last part of his earthly ministry. When he quoted Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of 2 in the synagogue, he did not quote the last part of verse 2, Isaiah 61, 2, as being part of his earthly ministry, what they would hear in their ears. In Luke 4, I'm talking about Luke 4, 19 through verse 22. It was an additional year beyond the 3 years in which he came seeking fruit in Israel, the fig tree, preaching that the kingdom was at hand. In other words, it was within grasp. It was attainable. The kingdom was at hand. Good tidings unto the meek. Open the prison to them that are bound in devil possession. In other words, that's my addition there. And he found no fruit. But in that year that followed the Lord's return to heaven, they had the last part of their opportunity to make the right choice. Remember that Jesus prophesied that additional year in Luke 14. Let's start in verse 18. Excuse me, Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in that, all of them in, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21, And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So as long as their ears were hearing, during that acceptable year of the Lord, they could have still received what the Lord had preached to them. Look in Acts 2, verse 38. Here Peter addresses Israel in the temple at the Jewish feast day. And he says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent. In other words, change your mind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. In other words, their sins would be remitted the penalty of those sins will be postponed or put off until a future time when they will be handled later. Okay, they're remitted. They're not forgiven yet. Peter told them a chapter, in a later chapter, told them what that would be, that their sins would be blotted out. That's in verse chapter 3, verse 19. And we'll look at that in a minute. And you shall, he goes on in verse chapter 2, verse 38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If they would have repented and been baptized, every one of them. Did you notice what Peter said in that verse? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. All of Israel had to believe on the identity of Jesus being their risen Messiah. That matches what Paul called the gospel of God in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. Especially Israel's leadership needed to recognize it, needed to believe it. And the elders, and the scribes, the Pharisees, the council, the chief priest, and the high priest himself, as we see at the end of verse chapter 6 and the beginning of verse 7, chapter 7 in Acts. But they all had to believe for the Lord to return as their king. And how can we know that? Well, look at the next chapter, Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So that's another proof that he was the Messiah. So that shows that Jesus was the Christ. That was prophesied. The identity that was prophesied, Jesus had. He had that identity. He fulfilled it. Prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, and that he did what he was prophesied to do. And there's that list of things in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. They should have recognized him. You know, it was all written beforehand in prophecy. Here we're seeing the difference here between prophecy and mystery. Nothing about the mystery was written or talked about in any of these verses. This is all prophesied. It's all prophecy. Didn't they study? They were told to. They were to study the prophets, the law. They just kind of marked time as time passed and didn't really obey. The prophets were God's speaker to man, just like Paul is God's speaker to man today. How impudent to ignore God when he speaks to you. Let's never be in that situation. Study, believe, preach. Peter goes on in the next verse to say, this would be Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So if they had all repented, changed their mind, from crucifying their Messiah, which they had already done, and changed their mind from that to, I know that Jesus is the Messiah, and I change my mind, and agree that I was wrong in crucifying him. In other words, repent and be converted to what Peter was preaching at Israel's as Israel's doctrine in the temple, in the feast day in the temple. Well, if they had done that, then your sins may be blotted out. But when? When would they be blotted out? He goes on to specify. When blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. So there you've got the return of Christ to the earth, and that is waiting until all Israel repents. All of Israel. It seems like an impossible task, but we'll see it's not. With the Lord, nothing is impossible. The verse says that Israel's sins will be blotted out at the time of Jesus Christ's return to earth. And that's quite unlike the teaching of Paul for the body of Christ. We're told in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And it carries over. I think it's communicative. Anyway, it's we have the forgiveness of sins. Talking to those Ephesians that were all saved, the saints. And according to we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, not according to my works. As it is, Israel is still waiting for their sins to be blotted out. You can see that in the words of Peter to Israel, let me just give you the verses. We've got time, I think. Let's go through the verses. Can we look up 1 Peter 1? These are all in the first chapter of 1 Peter, and we're going to look at verses 5, 7, 9, 10, 11, and 13. So there you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 witnesses about when Israel gets their sins blotted out. So, hold on just a second here. All right, I need to lead into that apparently because of the way it's the sentence is structured. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So this is Peter talking to Israel. They were to lay up treasures in heaven so that, and they're reserved there in safekeeping until Christ comes back, bringing them with them for the kingdom in which he will rule from the land. But reserved for you in heaven, and then we get to you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's not revealed yet. Not according to that. Israel's salvation was Christ reigning on the throne, and he was rejected. So when he comes back, that's when their sins are blotted out. Through faith, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Their salvation is not yet. It's coming when Christ returns. And verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's when he comes back. So it's these verses are in unison here. They're all uniformly prophesying that Israel's sins will be forgiven at the return of Christ. Look at verse 9. Was that one of our list? Yeah. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You've heard over and over that Israelites had to endure to the end to be saved. Well, this says it too, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. When they reached the end, All right, next verse, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So God was gracious in saving those according to how he dispensed his grace at that time. Well, there had been the law period, I hesitate to call it dispensation, but it was the dispensing of the law for them to abide by. They showed their faith by obeying the law, by believing the covenants that the Lord had made with Israel, by keeping the circumcision, all that list of things that they had to do to show that they believed. And if they didn't believe, it was a pretty hard list to keep. Just in jest, you know, not really believing it. So remember that also, that in... I'm going two ways here at once. Let me finish this list. We have two more verses, verse 11 and verse 13. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, this is these prophets in the Old Testament, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So there was a recognition that there would be a return of Christ to reign, the glory that was to follow. And finally, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, it's Peter to Israel, not to us. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be revealed unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we get to the part where we read how God makes every one of them want to see the Lord, want to have him return, forgive their sins, and they want to be, well, excuse me, remit their sins, it's a marvelous thing there in Zechariah. But In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Peter, circumcision apostle, Peter pledged to go to the circumcision, but this includes to preach to them, to the circumcision, to write to the circumcision. This is who his commitment and pledge was to, only to Israel. And that's not to us. Don't get confused when you read some of Israel's instructions that Peter writes, or that James writes, or other circumcision apostles in the New Testament, yeah. But they're writing to Israel under the dispensing that was given for Israel. Our dispensing is the dispensation of the grace of God. Read... You can't find that anywhere except in Paul's writings, his 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. So here, what Peter writes in 1 Peter and those verses, those six verses we read, it's not directed to us. It is not our instructions. It does not apply to us. We are already saved. We can't be waiting for salvation when we are saved. And we've got verses for that. We'll get more into that. But for now, Ephesians 2 verse 5 says that we are saved. Second verse of the four verses there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says you are saved once you believe the gospel. So, why not listen? We can listen. We can study Israel's directions and instructions for salvation, but don't get mixed up thinking they're for you. That would be like reading a tractor manual, John Deere tractor, and trying to figure out from that how to fly an airplane. We have the airplane. being seated in the heavenlies. Israel has the tractor, being promised the land. And after the fullness of the Gentiles become in, and God again starts working through Israel in the world, then let Israel read their instructions from God through the circumcision apostles. For now, we all need to apply our instructions from God, which were only revealed to and inspired by Jesus, revealed by Jesus and inspired by Jesus Christ to Paul. Paul was Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, named as the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the only one that wrote about our instructions from Christ in his 13 epistles of Romans through Philemon. And that's called rightly dividing. I'm done for tonight. That's what I've got so far, unless if there are questions. Questions to be answered. Question time. Comment time. Your turn. I'm going to drop the mic. Here we go. If you were waiting to ask a question for clarification or anything, you know, please, now this is the time. Just speak up. Nobody's going to scold you.
Okay, you said that 1 Peter was to the Jews, but according to the commentaries and other Bible translations I have, 1 Peter was to the believers. To the believers that were scattered throughout the different cities, the different areas. So how do you justify that this was to the nation of Israel only, when according to the commentaries and other Bible translations, it says that it was to the believers?
Well, this may get a little lengthy, but let me just show you. There is a difference between prophecy and mystery. What was prophesied in the Old Testament? The Messiah was prophesied. That he would reign from the land, rule over the world from the land was prophesied. But there are some mysteries that were revealed after Israel had fallen, after Israel had rejected their Messiah and been, fallen is the word used in the scripture in Romans 11, and cast away. After that happened in Acts 7, in Acts 9, the Lord revealed a different plan, still by Christ dying on the cross. But it's a different dispensing of his grace. And he revealed it to Paul, and only to Paul. Now, let's look at some of the differences to see how different they really are. Look at, we'll start in James. Look in James chapter 2, verse 24, if we can see that posted. That would be James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, if we can compare that or contrast it with Romans chapter 3, verse 28, Romans 3, 28, we see there is a difference. And is the Bible contradicting itself? It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The exact opposite. Jesus Christ revealed to Paul a different dispensing. They're different. They're not the same. And There's a saying about that. I'm not sure if I can get it right. But let's stick to the scripture. The verse I posted at first there. We want to believe what the Bible says, what God says. I mean, it's God's word, and we need to understand God's authority in preserving it to us in the preserved King James Version. But the difference... The difference shows us that God changed his dealings with man. Let's look at I was going to say the deal, but it wasn't a deal, I don't think. It was a handshake. What Peter and Paul agreed on. You've got Peter on one side with James and John, and then on the other side you've got Barnabas and Paul. Paul is writing this in Galatians, and he says this is Paul speaking, when James, Cephas, and John, so Cephas is Peter, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. The circumcision. Now, by that time, there was the Church of God in Jerusalem, the believers that believed Jesus was the Messiah, and there was the apostate Israelites that ran the synagogues and the temple there. I mean, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. There was a division there within Israel. The circumcision were the ones that believed Jesus was the Messiah. And they had done signs, you know, they had preached and people had gathered. That was the 3,000 and 5,000, I think it was, that were added to the church that was already in existence from Matthew 16, verse 18. Already in existence. But Paul preached the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4.